Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6. Shall we stand together to the book of Luke, chapter 6, and verse 12? Luke, chapter 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he, that being Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him. And he healed of their diseases, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your many blessings, and one of them is that we can gather together as believers and sing songs of praise. We can give our offerings and tithes, and we can look into the Word of God. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless this time as we study your word. I pray, Lord, you'd be with my mother as she sees the doctor on Thursday. And for Denise, Lord, we pray you'd have your hand upon her. And for others of our number, Lord, that are going through difficult times, we do think of Forrest Schultes and his ongoing health issues. And for others, Lord, we pray that you would bless and encourage them. And Lord, we pray that there could be souls saved here today, that there could be joy in heaven over one that repenteth. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 12, it came to pass in those days, as we have studied in the last couple of weeks, Jesus had healed the mother-in-law of Peter. Jesus had taught from a ship in the lake of Gennesaret, due to the press of people wanting to be near him, and that being he got out in a ship and they moved him out from shore a little bit. Then after teaching the people from the boat, he instructed Peter to launch out into the deep and let down the nets. Peter did so, but not without voicing his frustration at the idea. And in silent protest, he only let down one net instead of the nets. And as soon as the net was in the water, it began to fill up and was soon full to bursting with fish. Later, Jesus healed a leper of his leprosy. In Luke 5:12, we read that Jesus would withdraw to the wilderness to pray. Upon his return, he was once again teaching when he was requested to heal a paralytic. And you may remember he was dropped down through a hole in the roof created by the four men that brought him to Jesus. We also see in Luke 5 that he passed by Levi the publican. That was not Republican, but publican. And he challenged him to be one of his followers. And we know that Levi, also known as Matthew, left all and followed him. But that night, Jesus was invited to be the guest of honor at his house. Then here in Luke 6, Jesus healed the man with a withered hand, and it was the Sabbath, and his actions led to great consternation to the scribes and Pharisees. Now it came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray. Over and over again in the gospel narratives, we find that Jesus withdrew himself to pray. To pray means to make petitions, to plead for, to beg, to ask, to adjure, to beseech, to entreat, to implore. It also means importune. Now, most of us haven't used the word importune in a long, long time. In fact, I would dare say if we were to take a survey of all of us in this room, that I would dare say that none of us in the last 24 hours has used the word importune. But we'll find that importune means to urge persistently, to press. Dr. Mark was talking there from our memory verse and talking about Paul and how that he sought the Lord how many times? Three times. Thrice, the Bible says. Three times. Is that how many times we're supposed to pray for something? We are not told how many times we should. But if you would, take your Bibles and go over a few chapters to Luke 5. Luke 5. And we'll read the story of the one who, because of his importunity, got his prayer or his desire or his urgent need taken care of. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5, Luke 11:5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. That's loaves of bread. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. A fair question was asked of me not too long ago. How long should we pray for something? 1 time? 5 times? 77 times? 150? I say this until the Lord shuts the door. I believe there are times in which we know the Lord has answered our prayer the very first time we prayed. And he does not want us to ask a second time, though sometimes we do, hoping he'll change his mind. But I do believe there are other times that he doesn't give us an answer right away, or he simply says, wait, wait. And so we will pray. I received a phone call the other day from a man that I have met on just a number of occasions. And this father literally begged me to pray for his daughter, who he believes to be bipolar and very manipulative. He said as I about to hang up, he says, please remember to pray for my daughter. You know, there are those that we pray for on a regular basis. We find that Jesus prayed. It tells us here again in Luke chapter 6 that he continued all night in prayer to God. Now you need to remember that Jesus Christ is himself God. He is part of the Trinity. We may call him God the Son, but he is just as important and has been in existence as long as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity working together. Each with their own office. And we find that he was in communication with the Heavenly Father. May I say this, Jesus left heaven's glory to walk here on earth. Now, we may think earth is a pretty nice place to live. I'd rather live here than on Mars. I wouldn't want to live on Venus or Mercury. And I certainly wouldn't want to live on Pluto. It's not even a planet anymore. So I'm glad that we live on this planet. But folks, sin has become part of this planet. And Jesus left glory to walk here. I wonder how often he was lonely. I was talking not too long ago to my daughter-in-law, Erica, and as you know, she is pregnant, and she is 9 months pregnant. Any day now. Any day, she could have child number 4. And we were talking about the fact that she has 3 children already. She has Samantha and Ben and Travis. Not Travis, Joey. Don't tell Travis, I got him mixed in the wrong family there. But she was telling me, she says, it's so hard to be with those three kids all day long. You that were parents with a lot of kids, you get down on their level because they can't come up to your level. Jesus dwelt with mere mortals for those 30-some years. I wonder how often he was just plain lonely. And he was in communication with the Heavenly Father all night long. All night. Notice verse 13. And when it was day. Now, I don't know what that means, when it was day. Does that mean at 6 o'clock in the morning? How many of you are not morning people? In fact, 6 o'clock in the morning to you is a cuss word. Yes. Now, how many of you would think that 6 o'clock in the morning is early? How many of you don't think 6 o'clock in the morning is early? Wow, there's all kinds of... You don't think 6 o'clock in the morning is early? Woo! I'm moving along before I get into trouble. But it was probably very early. He says he called unto him his disciples. Now, remember that not all his disciples were apostles. See, a disciple is a follower. One that works for the cause. I'd like to talk a couple of minutes about Vacation Bible School. I hope you don't mind. In our bulletin, we thank those 23 that helped Pastor Stephen and me in this year's Vacation Bible School. Thank you very much. I called them my green shirts because we were bright and we were green. What a blessing it was. And I thank the VBS workers, those that were handbillers. May I say this, that my computer check doesn't like handbillers. It wants me to make it handbills or something else, but handbillers. Those who invited. I wish that all of us could have invited people. I was disappointed this past week. I'm going to share this with you just for a moment, and then I'm moving on to positive things. You know, we put these in the bulletins. I was amazed how many of them I found in the auditorium after the service. You know what that told me? It told me someone took their bulletin, but they didn't take this to invite someone to Vacation Bible School. I think all of us should have been willing to invite someone to Vacation Bible School. See, we are disciples when we are willing to help the cause. Are we willing to help the cause? Oh, I'll just leave this here now. Someone else did. Okay. Are we desiring to be helpers? But in Vacation Bible School, I tell you what, it was good to have the helpers. I want to thank those who provided treats and water. Oh, the kids went through the water. It's amazing how much some water some people can drink. And the treats, very tempting, very tempting. Yes. And you know, we appreciate those and the candy that was brought in, and the kids liked the candy, and the kids loved the candy, and the kids all but trampled me to get to the candy. But thank you. For you that prayed for Vacation Bible School, thank you so very much. We appreciate the two that accepted the Lord as their Savior. One attends another Baptist church, but he came to know the Lord here, or at least prayed the prayer, and we thank that. And another one has ties to our church, and we would hope to see her actually become involved in our church. I want to thank the VBS teachers. My wife taught on Monday, calming the sea. Lori taught on Tuesday about feeding the multitude. I was hungry the rest of the day. Wednesday, Paul Wuttke taught about the temptations of Jesus and how that he was able to defeat Satan by using the Word of God. Thursday, Rudy talked about the Lord, our great shepherd. And on Friday, my brother Jim, the only day he could help because of his work schedule, Jim came and taught about the conversion of the Philippian jailer. And then Monday through Friday, Pastor Stephen was speaking to us from Ephesians 6 and the whole armor of God. And I tell you what, our children listened, and we appreciated that very much. I really think that the children were very good and well-behaved. We had workers that were at the registration table, the piano player, the computer geek, Is it all right if I say the computer geek, John? Huh? Is that all right? You ran the computer. Are you a geek? Okay. Yes. The servers, those that handed out the candy, or not the candy, the cookies and water, thank you. Those that broke down Vacation Bible School and cleaned up. I tell you what, it's good to have Vacation Bible School, but when it's over, we need to clean the building, right? And I appreciate those that stayed and helped and took things down. I appreciate those who counted the money. You know, it's funny that the one day that the only females counted the money, there was only one day. And that day, 200 and some odd dollars came in for the girls. I don't know how that happened, but the you that counted the money, thank you. I appreciate you. And I appreciate the young people that helped. What a blessing they are. They bring an energy and an enthusiasm. And the other kids, our students, just kind of play off that enthusiasm. And we appreciate Chris Alop. Am I saying that correctly? Chris Alop? Chris Alot? Not Chris Alop, but Chris Alot. Am I getting close to that? Okay. Chris Alot. Right? If you don't know what I'm talking about, talk to Chris later. He'll tell you. I appreciate those that helped. We find here there were disciples. Disciples. Excuse me? The dragon. Oh, yes, yes. I'm sorry, Scotty. You were a great dragon. I didn't know the dragon used Nerf guns. Better than the fiery darts, right? Yes, yes, yes. I'm sorry. Yeah, the dragon also. Yes. I don't want him angry with me. Okay. He called them disciples. But notice verse 13. And of them he chose 12, whom he named apostles. He chose. What a privilege. What an opportunity. What a challenge. You know, he challenges us to follow him. Do you agree with that statement? He challenges us to follow him. You know, for some of us, it's hard to be a follower. Some people by nature are leaders. But Jesus, I believe, called men who could be leaders to follow him. And he wants us to follow him. He chose 12. He named them apostles. That means a companion, a messenger, a witness, a zealous advocate. A zealous advocate. You ever know somebody that has just gotten into a job where they're a salesman? Maybe they're going to sell life insurance. And you say, uh-oh. Maybe they're going to sell home interiors or Avon or Tupperware. And you say, uh-oh. You know, they come after their friends and family first. Yes. But you know, as a believer, who should we go after first? Our friends and family, we ought to go after them. We need to bring them to the Lord. And then there's a list of men. Simon, who is also known as Peter, and Cephas. We find that he is listed first. We know that Peter was the one that opened his mouth oftentimes before he put his brain in gear. I'm not going to ask if any of you have that problem. But he was one of the inner circle of three. He declared that Jesus was the Son of God. And Jesus said about him that he was a stone, but he himself, Jesus, was a rock on which the church should be built. The church is important to Jesus Christ. The church is not to be a cruise ship. The church is to be a lifeboat. I'll give you time to think that over again. Let me say it again. The ship is not to be a cruise ship. It's to be a lifeboat. We are here to save souls, not to entertain the multitudes. We need to make sure that they know of Jesus Christ. And Jesus built his church upon himself. We know that Peter would deny Christ three times and he would go out and repent in bitter tears. Yet he would become a great worker for the cause of Christ before he died as a martyr. We find that Andrew is listed, Peter's brother. One that is found bringing people to Jesus. What a testimony. What a testimony. Then there's James and John. They were also brothers, and they were part of the inner circle also. This James is not to be confused with the half-brother of Jesus, or James the son of Alphaeus, a fellow disciple. We find in Acts chapter 12 that James was the first of the disciples to be martyred. And he would be killed. John, of course, was the one that mentioned that he was loved of Jesus. He was the author of John and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John in the book of Revelation. And James and John were known as the sons of thunder. I don't know if they had loud voices or they preached loudly, but they were the sons of thunder. There's Philip, not to be confused with Philip of Acts, who was a deacon. In the three listings of the apostles, or in three of the listings of the apostles, Philip is always bracketed with Nathanael or Bartholomew. They have two names there of Nathanael and Bartholomew. In John chapter 1, Andrew and John found Jesus, but Jesus found Philip. An impressive feature about Philip is after his conversion, he immediately went after another. And it was in John chapter 6 that Philip's faith is put to the test when he is the one that is told to provide food for the multitude. I'm sure that Peter, James, and John were glad it was Philip that was told to do that. We have Bartholomew, who is also known as Nathanael, and he owed his introduction to Christ to his friend Philip. I hope you've introduced somebody to Christ. I hope you've invited someone the Lord. Next, we find Matthew, who was also known as Levi. He was a former tax collector, probably rich when compared to the fishermen. And we find that he is the author of the Gospel of Matthew, and he was willing to follow Christ. He was willing to leave all to follow him. Then there's Thomas. Everybody knows of Thomas. He's also known as Didymus. But he's called Doubting Thomas for his stubbornness concerning the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. I think that Thomas was simply pouting because Christ appeared when he wasn't there. And with it, he, of course, has this reputation. There's James, the son of Alphaeus. We know little of this James apart from his own name and that of his father. We have Simon, called Zealot. We find that Simon belonged to the historical party which bore that name of Zealot. They were for Jewish independence and hated foreign interference. We find the 11th disciple has been known by three names, that of Thaddeus, Libius, and Judas, the brother of James. Again, nothing is really known of this apostle, only that the Lord chose him to be a follower of the Messiah. May I say this, not all of us will get the fame or all the attention, but all of us should be willing to be followers of Christ. But then there's Judas, surnamed Iscariot, the traitor. We find that Iscariot probably means a man from Kerath, a town of southern Judea, and was applied to Judas to distinguish him from half a dozen other men by the same name. How many of you heard about them? Mr. Sandusky, the man famous with Penn State, how that his son has requested to change his last name because he does not want to be known as the son of this man who did this horrendous thing. Judas committed a terrible crime. He betrayed Christ. His bargain was foretold in the book of Zechariah. We find that it was for 30 pieces of silver that he would sell Christ. The Bible tells us that he was the devil incarnate, for one of you is a devil. He was the son of perdition, a man of sin. He was a thief, not because he was a treasurer, but because he loved money. And we live in a world that loves money. We find that he betrayed Jesus with a kiss. May I say this? Not all that say, Lord, Lord, will be in the kingdom of God. He was a recipient of divine patience. For 3 years, Christ put up with him. For 3 years, Jesus knew what Judas would do. And yet Christ put up with him. May I say this? Some of you have been in church your whole life and have never accepted Christ as your Savior. Divine patience will one day run out. One day the Lord will say, that is enough. You've had the opportunity to come to me, but you have refused, just as Judas, who went to his own place, Acts chapter 1, verse 25. And it came to the point where Jesus simply looked at Judas and said, what thou doest, do quickly. Judas, which was also the traitor, turned his back on Christ. May I say this, when you stand before the judge of the universe, will Jesus be at your side, or will you have turned your back on the Redeemer of mankind? Shall we stand together? We'll sing, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. 403, as the Lord is dealing with people, may you pray this, the Lord, don't pass me by. Don't forget me, Lord. What a blessing it is to come to the house of God and have the opportunity to get things right with Him. For we have no idea how long we have here on planet Earth. It could be that one of you today may be breathing your last breaths, that you could even today be called to eternity. Are you ready for that appointed time? Are you prepared? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your word. We thank you for the disciples of Christ. But Lord, we thank you also for the apostles, men who in almost every case died as martyrs, died for you. Thank you for the word of God, and for those who have kept it safely for us. Thank you, Lord, for your love. And we ask, Lord, if there is one here today that needs to come and get things right with you, that this would be that day, that they would not be embarrassed or they would not have pride get in the way, but they would surrender themselves to you, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.